Well, fathers and brethren, I'm not sure what you're expecting, but I thought I would preach on something practical, considering the business that we have to hand today, but mainly to go back to the Word. Everything that we do, we need to have the Word supporting it, and it's back to the Word. So let's go back to the Word right now. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58. We'll read the first 12 verses. The first 12 verses of Isaiah, chapter 58. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if there were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall call, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. Now, we're all interested, and we've got, as I said, the church planting to think of and organizing committees, but we want to know God's will and understanding God's will. We want answers to our prayers, we want his guidance, and we want revival. And all these things are here, and but they're conditional. Now, I preached this passage to my congregation in Dundee. But when I came to the application of it, I jumped to another passage of Scripture. Because I didn't think what was here was relevant. Now, that was wrong with me. So I want to have another go today. I jumped from this application to another one, which I thought was more suitable for my flock. And it reminded me of my first communion in the Free Presbyterian Church as a young minister. Like just now, I was in fear and trembling. It was in chapter 1 of Isaiah, which is very like this chapter. It was in chapter 1. And I was getting on great, I thought, in my preparation. Just great. And then I came to the application. I said, I can't say that. I can't accuse this congregation of that. I can't preach that. And I didn't.
And after spending hours in the sermon, I scrapped it completely and went to something else.
It was a Thursday of a communion where there was confession of sin, and I felt I couldn't make these sins apply that to the people I was addressing. So as I said, I'm having another go today. Now, what's here? We have God speaking to his people, his covenant people. And he's something important to say to them. He's calling his servant, Isaiah, to speak to them, to his covenant people. Declare to my people, verse 1, to the house of Jacob, my people. So this is for God's people. It's not for pagans. It's for the church. It's for the church. And he says, tell them their sins. Point out to them in clear, unequivocal terms their transgressions, their sins. Now, shout it aloud. Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Right? I held back when I didn't give the whole counsel of God. I stopped in my sermon. In both the sermons, when I preached in Isaiah 1 and here. Now, the problem here for Israel was that they didn't think they were doing anything wrong at all. They thought their relationship with God was great. And it wasn't. They thought the relationship with God was great. That he approved of everything. And they had good grounds for thinking so. They had very good grounds for thinking everything was fine. Because their worship was fine. Their worship was excellent. Look what God himself says. They seek me daily. Verse 2. And they delight to know my ways. They delight to draw near to God. Tell me, when you wake up on the Lord's Day, are you excited? Great. Sunday, going to worship God. They did. They delight to draw near. That's what they said. Well, are we as good as they were? God said, you know, your worship's fine. As he has in chapter 1. Your worship's fine. Even your solemn meeting. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. That's what he says in chapter 1. Away with it. God's people. Doing the right thing, worshiping the right way. Now Israel, of course, were upset with God. Israel in their hearts were upset with God. God didn't acknowledge them in the way they thought that God should acknowledge them. Why have you fasted, Lord, and you see it not? Verse 3. We've humbled ourselves. We haven't been any noise. We're doing everything just grand and right. They thought God should be doing much more and acknowledging them as a church, as a denomination or whatever, much more than they were. Now, fasting here is used not just in the term as we today perhaps know fasting. It's used in the wider context as our confession of faith, chapter 21, verse 5, and our larger catechism, chapter 1, verse 8, refers to fasting as religious worship. The religious worship, and it's in the wider context of the word fasting is used here. The religious worship was fine. It was the religious worship of God. So when we're talking here of fasting, is this the fast that you want? Is this the sort of thing that God really wants from us? Is this everything? Now, despite their commitment and their attention to worship, God, as we said, was not happy with them. They were pleased in themselves, but God wasn't pleased. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. You're quite happy yourself. Your own pleasure. You're quite happy. You feel satisfied. You feel good. You feel good. You've been to church. You've been to church twice. You've been to prayer meeting. You've had family worship. These things are excellent, and they were doing it. But there's still something else that was lacking that was upsetting God. And of course, there was something else that God was upset at. Now, I personally think we as a church are good. I think we've got great theology. But maybe we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And we need to examine ourselves. Because we need more of God's Spirit, don't we? I need it so much. My congregation needs it so much. Are we grieving God? We've just got to be honest and humble and say, Lord, are we grieving you? Are we doing something wrong because we're not seeing it? You see, they weren't seeing it. Maybe we're not seeing something. I'm not saying there is something, but maybe there is. And we need to be humble. We need to be humble before God. The Israelites had no idea what was displeasing God. As we said in chapter 1, they had multitude of sacrifices, offerings, solemn assemblies, appointed feasts, many prayers. And it still wasn't enough for God. Fasting like yours, in verse 4, will not make your voice be heard on high. The religious worship will not do it all. You have to have a life. Your Christianity has to be practical. Christianity is not just doctrine. It's a life. It's got life. They had all the rituals, they're bowing their head, they're like a reed or a bulrush, depending on what version you have. And we can be doing all these things. Maybe there's something lacking. Well, there's something lacking here. So let's get to the point. What was it that was lacking here? In the church of God, I know there's no dispensationalists here. I've got dispensationalists in my congregation, but I don't think the church started until Jesus came. But this is the church of God. This is the people of God, the covenant people. So what was it that God wanted Isaiah to point out to them? What was this? They failed to demonstrate the compassion God had shown to them, to others around them. God was merciful to them. God chose them out from Egypt. God blessed them with all kinds of blessings. God was compassionate to them more than to any other people. And yet they weren't showing that mercy and love to others around them. That's what I make out of this. You can see me afterwards. They needed to show mercy to those who needed it. This is what God's word says. When we carry on reading, this is what we find in the word. It's not this the fast that I choose. This is not the real true Christianity, the real true worship, real true godliness. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, to share your bread with the hungry? I gotta ask myself. You ask yourself, when was the last time you had a beggar in your home? For a meal. For a meal. How long ago? Well, Israel are accused. Your prayers are not being heard. Your worship's not acknowledged. Because you've not been merciful to the poor. That's what the word says. Now, I'm not happy saying this because I'm preaching to myself. But it's God's word. We talk about going back to the word. And when I do that, oh my, I'm not happy. I see things I don't like. And here is something that challenges me, and I'm sure it's applicable to you. When is the last time you saw someone in the cold? And you give them something. Well, we've got blind food, and that's good, and that's helpful. But is it just a wee touch here and there? This is application, I believe, for today. Because that's what was keeping back the blessing from Israel. They weren't compassionate. The Christianity wasn't coming out in love, mercy. Wasn't coming out in love and compassion. The way God had showed compassion to them in Egypt. The New Testament church has got the same principle. That's what's important, is that our Christianity has relevance to the community around us. The New Testament church was so busy, you know, when they started off with serving tables, that they forgot about ministry. And they came to themselves. They came to, hey, listen, this is not right. And the solution was, not stop serving tables. Let's appoint people who are gifted with it. Let's appoint seven or whatever it was. The remedy was not stop this helping the poor, but pick out from among you and appoint people to this special duty. And let us have the word. We must have the word. And we've got to go back to the word and get more and more insights into it. And ask God's Spirit to lead us more, not with tunnel vision, bringing our own view of it without letting the Spirit enlighten us on the word. We need light on the word. And as I say, you know, when I go back to it, I am challenged so much. If I take it objectively, In the New Testament church, when they sent Paul and Barnabas out on a mission, what was the one thing they said to them? What was the one condition? Paul and Barnabas, look, we want to go abroad, we want to go across the water there to Asia. Only remember the poor. Only remember the poor. The one condition we lay upon you. Only they asked us to remember the poor. The very thing I was eager to do. Paul was eager to do this. And he was so glad they said that. You've got to remember the poor. Practical Christianity is what God wants. James, the half-brother of our Lord, you've despised the poor. You've despised the poor. You don't want them in your congregation. You don't want them hanging about your people. You're all well-dressed. I had someone in my congregation said he wouldn't come. You've all got your lovely hats. This was a while ago. You've all got your hats. You're all so well-dressed. What was Christ's command to the rich young ruler? Sell all you have, distribute to the poor. So the New Testament supports this principle. You know, there are those who say, that's the Old Testament. Go on. You don't go to the Old Testament. I think you do. I think we need to go back to the Old Testament and find the principles here. That's why there's not so much history in the New Testament, because we've got it all. We've got enough history to know how the church grows and develops and what the problems are. And that's, well, it's because of all this. I'm encouraged with John's work. I know John's not here yet, but in Edinburgh, he's doing a wonderful thing there among the poor. And as I say, this is not something I revel in, friends, brothers, sisters. I don't revel in this. I'm hurt because I'm guilty. And I don't want to go among these people. I don't want to get involved with these people. I just want to preach. I just want to keep the word. Never mind the rest, but, well, back to the word. Back to the word. And I think, as I said, that as a denomination, we've got the word. We need the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. You see, our problem, I think, really is, and this is coming around to the practical point, I'll not be that long, folks, is that hardly anyone is hearing our good theology. I had only 9 out last Sunday night. And 8 the night Sunday before. Okay, at 19 in the morning. How do you get people to hear? And if we're church planting, we need people to hear. Are we sure we're going to get people to hear? We need people to hear the word. You can't speak into the air, as Paul says. You'd be speaking into the air. We have to spread the word. We're preaching the same folk day after day after day. That's what's good about church planting. Let's go somewhere else. But let's be sure we'll get an audience. Let's be sure we'll get an audience. That was great. I'm excited about it. And it seems to me that the way you get an audience is what the Lord Jesus did. How did he get an audience? How did he get crowds? He was helping them. Now, he could perform miracles. We can. But we can help people. We can love people. Don't we? Mercy ministries is what I think is what we need to do.
I'm not talking about entertainment. Not entertainment. Helping people. Helping people. Healing people. Comforting people. Setting up a means where people can come and get help and introduce them. The crisis pregnancy here in well, we've got in Dundee and in Renee, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The kind of people that come there and they haven't a clue. But sometimes, well, they all hear about goodness and truth, but we can get the gospel in. It's wonderful.
A member of the church planting committee phoned me twice recently. And I was speaking to him on the phone, and he said, one of the places they were thinking of planting another church was Dundee. And how would I think about that? I said, fine, that's fine. But you'll need to be a 10-talented brother. You'll need to have a lot of gifts. You need to be able to gather people to hear the word. It's not just being able to preach it, there's got to be people there to hear the word. And this is what I'm so concerned about. About my own congregation. How do I get people to hear the gospel? Because we've got the gospel. We've got the right theology. We've got the doctrine. But no one's hearing it. Jesus gathered a crowd. And if he's the model for the church, he gathered people, didn't he? To hear them. And then he preached the doctrine and many went back. Well, that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but you know what I mean. At least they heard the word. People hear the word. Last time I spoke to John, asked him how many he had, John in Edinburgh. He had more than I had, and one other member in the congregation who phoned me last. We added the two numbers, my numbers and his numbers, and he had more than that. Now what they're doing is that I don't know, but they're hearing the word. They're hearing the word. Since I went to Dundee, 7 conservative evangelical denominations have closed. 7 evangelical, not all Reformed, some though, Reformed Baptist, the Independents, different churches have closed and stopped servicing. That's not including Church of Scotland. They've got to close 13. In the last 2 years, the Presbytery said 13 churches have got to merge. Now, I'm not talking Church of Scotland, I'm talking about other independent churches. Evangelical ones, 7 closed. But a lot of others have started, actually. A lot of others have started. 2 or 3 of them are looking for extended buildings because of the numbers they have. There's one thing that was common in the 7 that stopped that the new ones all have, and that's Mercy Ministries. They've got something there that to help people. And those other conservative ones just preached. Just preached. Didn't care or close the doors, lock the door, off they went. Didn't even chat after the service. Mercy Ministries. I think we need to think seriously about that. We need to have some means of gathering people to hear the gospel. And I understand the Bible. I got this idea from the Bible. Going back to the word. This is what it says here. Going back to the word. Objectively. Not with tunnel vision. I've opened, Lord, to show me what are you saying here? Open my eyes, that out of thy law, the wonders I may see. He's talking about his own writing, maybe. David, in the Psalms. Open my eyes, I may see what I never saw before, Lord. That we need to pay attention to. Back to the word. I mentioned we need to know about God's will and understand God's will. We need light, don't we? Well, no, he says here. The beginning of verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9 is the word and. Then. And it's not vo, which can mean and that and different things. It's the word then. When you pay attention to them, then your light will break forth. Then your light shall rise in the darkness. Then you'll get light. Then you'll get vision. Then you'll know about the future. Then you'll call on the Lord and he will answer you. You feel like I do? God's not hearing my prayers. I pray for so-and-so and for so-and-so and for so-and-so and so-and-so. They've been coming to church for 20 years under me. There's not a movement spiritually. They're as bitter than some of them. The Lord's not hearing my prayers. Well, then you're like Liam. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer, verse 9. You shall cry and he will say, here am I, what do you want? I'll answer your prayers. And the Lord will guide you. Continually, verse 11. We need God's guidance, we need God's direction, don't we? And then you'll have a revival too. The Lord will rebuild your cities. And your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. You shall be called the repairer of the breach. You'll be called the restorer of church, the streets to dwell in. A rebuilder. Don't we want to rebuild society? Don't we want to rebuild people? People's lives and families' lives? Well then, when do we get it? When we give God the worship that he requires. And when we're, our Christianity is the way it's got practical implications. So, folks, whatever you think of my application of this passage of God's Word, I think we're obligated to study, to think of it, to consider its testimony and the full scope of what God's expectations of us are. Not what we expect. Not what our brethren expect. What's God expecting of your ministry and of my ministry? What is God expecting of it? And there's a full scope. It's not just that we worship right. Our lives have got to be right. And our love to the community round about us. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we ask for your blessing upon us. Help us understand your word and help us discern what you are saying, not what we're saying, and not what we're seeing. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice in Scripture, we pray. Bless us and help us now as we meet together, Lord, we pray. Help us at Presbytery. Give us understanding, especially when there's people saying, opposing what we might be saying. Give us humility and give us grace to hear the brethren out. Help us, Lord, with sorting out the committees. Help us with the church planting, Lord. It's a wonderful thing. And let's hear from all the brethren about it, Lord. Lord, we ask you to help us in our understanding of your word, that we wouldn't come with, that it would be objective and that you'd open our eyes and that we might see wonderful things in your law. We pray you to bless us. Be with Abzomas. Remember Mr. Katniss, as already remembered. Pray for his health and that he'd have a ministry there in Budmore Home, as we believe he can have and is having. Help him there and bless him. And help us with the decisions of Portree and Ascent, as already prayed for, and all these different things, Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, for our national church. We pray for tomorrow in a special way, Lord, as they have a day of fasting, if necessary, but certainly a day of prayer for their difficult situation. Guide them, Lord. Give them your mind. Help them, Lord. And give us a compassion and understanding for them, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you might be with us and that you would help us to distinguish between our own ideas and our own desires from the Holy Spirit's leading and the Holy Spirit's guidance, and from your purposes. Help us to know your word, your mind, O Lord. Keep ourselves out of it, Lord. And help us one with another to be a body united together, understanding, learning, loving one another. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name.